So we've just been singing our praises for our God. Our God who is awesome in power and yet for us. Our God whose love for us is vast beyond all measure. Whose forgiveness and embrace we know. As Jesus says to his followers at the end of today's gospel account, rejoice that your names are written in the book of heaven. This is central to our whole life, this rejoicing. But it's also why it can be assumed that we want to witness to Jesus. Why we would be intentional about sharing the news of his kingdom. Why we would be overflowing with what Jesus has already done for us, not just in passionate song, but in what we share with others who do not yet experience this. So this passage from Luke today is about how Jesus sent out a large number of his followers to go and witness to him and his bringing of the kingdom of God. And as his followers experienced, Jesus didn't just keep them close, comfortably within his orbit, but he also sent them out ahead to bring his message. If we are his followers, then we are also sent out of our comfort zone to bring his message. As Jesus said in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So I'd like to just go through this passage and bring out aspects of how Jesus sent people out and what happened. This may help us to think about how we might be sent out, what we might say and do in our interactions with others who do not know him. So we're going to go through the passage, starting at the beginning. So Jesus sent his followers out two by two. They weren't going alone. This is why Paul never works alone either. The only time he worked alone was in Athens, where apparently he didn't establish a church. And there was just one or two converts and that was it. And this is a bit of a challenge to our individualism too. We aren't supposed to do it by ourselves. We aren't supposed to be stunning individual witnesses to God. And then practically, if you have ever been in a conversation with someone and the conversation moves to being about God or your Christian faith, you'll know that if you have a friend with you who also has a relationship with Jesus, then it's much easier to be able to share. You know that at least someone in the conversation knows what you're talking about. Perhaps they can ask a question that you hadn't thought of to ask. Or they can clarify what you've just said from their own perspective to help get something across more clearly. Or they can reinforce what you have said by adding a story from their own experience of God in their lives. So this makes a lot of sense. We don't do it alone. But of course we could end up in conversation when we're the only person there. And to some extent, we can still be intentional about bringing God into the conversation in some way. If we've prayed with other Christian friends, they're with us, so to speak, in that prayer. And that has them involved in our witnessing too, as you might say. So do we do that sort of prayer often enough though? And then one of the things that Francis and I hope is that soon you'll be able to rely on God working through your brothers and sisters with you when you can bring guests to some of our fellowship meals and know that it's not just about you being able to bring Jesus to them, but it's about perhaps your brothers and sisters there as well in a different way. And Yeah, it's not something we do alone. Then Jesus sent his followers to places he was about to go, as it says there. He sent them on ahead of him. And yet, Luke never actually mentions Jesus going to those places later. So what was happening there? You see, when Jesus' followers go somewhere, they actually take Jesus' presence with them. And we know that Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is in us. And the 70 functioned actually as Jesus' presence in those places where they were sent. The kingdom of God is present in Jesus' ministry and becomes present in the ministry of those who are sent out in his name. So it's not just a matter of finding out what God is doing and joining in, as is sometimes said. It's also about finding what God wants us to do, but cannot until we step out for him. We are actually his sent out ones. Those 70 were sent out in his name. But where are we sent to? We obviously aren't going on short or long-term missions to other places, or being sent to different towns or places we don't usually go to. In fact, I suspect that most of us see mostly the same people week on week. We know the people we see and meet each week. And yet, we are still sent people. People Jesus is calling to step out for him. As we listen to what Jesus says to his followers in the rest of this passage, we also need to be thinking about the people we usually meet and about the people who serve us from time to time that we may meet. And perhaps the neighbours that we often or sometimes see but don't often talk to or take an interest in. So let's move on through the passage. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." Now, most of the time these days, when we look at trying to bring our faith into a conversation or share something of Jesus with someone, we're ready to do so, but it seems that those listening are just not interested. But Jesus here is saying exactly the opposite. The harvest is there and ready, and all that is needed is for workers to go out and reap it. So why do we so often feel as if it's the other way around? Are we just so scared to say something that might, what we think might compromise a friendship or neighbourly relations? When there really perhaps are those around us who are open, if we were just to open our mouths. I was listening to someone talking about this passage last week, and they shared that they'd been relating to the non-Christian spouse of a churchgoer for years. And then they happened to be in a car with them one day. And so they asked them to a course introducing them to Christianity. And the reply was, "I thought you were never going to ask." And after the course, they became a keen follower of Christ. Sometimes we just need to speak. We also need to think about how we are approaching the harvest. What are we saying to people? Are we really doing what Jesus is asking us to do? If we find ourselves trying to speak of God or our faith or our relationship with Jesus, and it's falling on deaf ears or just causing an argument that we can't win. So as Jesus says, "Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." So in fact, it does feel a bit like we're going like lambs among the wolves when we try and talk about these things. And Jesus does seem to be suggesting for the 70 that the whole enterprise is to be done in a very risky way, without even the basic provisions. It's a bit like us going to speak to friends who have all the arguments while we don't. But I don't think this is quite the case, as the next verses make a bit clearer. Jesus says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move around from house to house. So Jesus is actually telling the 70 to only share the good news with those who we might call people of peace. They were to stay in the place that accepted their blessing of peace. As Jesus' followers were bringing his kingdom presence with them, they carried with them the ability to bring the peace of Jesus with them. And when that real peace was received, it was so good that people would be willing to feed and house those who brought it. People receiving that peace that comes with the kingdom of God, with the presence of Jesus, were willing to support those who brought it because they appreciated its value. So when we carry the peace of Jesus with us, and people are open to this, are people of peace themselves, then we can share of our faith, of the good news that transformed us into a bringer of peace. And there are people who long for that, part of the harvest that is ready. This is actually part of our story as the Jesus followers in this land. When the gospel was first brought to the Tangata Whenua about 2 centuries ago, it was the gospel of peace and forgiveness rather than that was heard. The gospel which gives us a way to bring peace and forgiveness rather than vengeance and retribution to those who hurt us. We are in spiritual continuity with that. Listening to and reading the news today, it seems to me that most people are looking to criticize and fight all those that they think bring harm to them and to our society. What a different message we can bring if we can come to all those issues with an attitude of peace, forgiveness, restoration. Now, those words that Jesus spoke to his followers assure that people would support those bringing the words of peace because they value the message. I think we often assume that we need to do good first to people as a sort of recompense for the fact that we're asking for the privilege of telling them the gospel, as if the good we do is buying the right to be heard. But here, Jesus assumes that the good news itself is enough of a blessing, that those who hear it will be so grateful for it that they would be more than happy to recompense in some way. Can we imagine this? I'd actually love to explore the ways in which the peace and forgiveness of God can be applied to today's personal, local, international issues. It'd be something that we could talk about perhaps in our shared meals or over coffee. How do we apply the gospel to the things in the world? Talk about a different response, not fight, but forgiveness, peace, restoration. So we need to think about how that peace can be applied to the issues of the day that you hear other people say. You know what they talk about, and so many people do just talk about these things. So if we have thought about it in advance, we can be ready to reply to people's complaints or criticisms or even their despair with questions, first to really hear what their anguish is about their world. And then, have you considered this way of peace? This means that we can come to people without having to rely on our own clever arguments, which probably won't even convince the determined atheist or agnostic anyway. And at this point, I heave a great sigh of relief that Jesus isn't necessarily calling me to confront those antagonistic to church or to Jesus with conversation about God. Instead, I need to be carrying Jesus' peace with me, taking an interest in where people are at, and looking out for those who, when I bring a Jesus-centered perspective on matters, or I appropriately mention my faith, or demonstrate it even in prayer, that they respond positively, so that there's a chance to share more deeply. And then we go on to what Jesus says next. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So then Jesus was advising his followers to eat what was set before them. That is to actually accept whatever the person who is open to their message might offer them in gratitude, while it may not normally be acceptable to them. These were Jews. They were going out to towns that they could have encountered Gentiles. They could have been offered bacon with their eggs, and that would have been quite hard for them to actually accept, but they were being urged, accept, eat it, what is offered to you. And that we find that the person who's open to hearing our faith and the good news about Jesus, peace, may not be the sort of person we would normally get on with. And accepting all the food they were offered also required the humility to receive. They were vulnerable, the 70, as they didn't provide for themselves. Now, I know of many stories, and I've seen in my own circumstances, that people who know someone as a Christian are quite affected by being asked for something, or having the Christian accept something from them. That humility and that vulnerability reassures them and opens their heart a bit more to hearing whatever we may have to say. Being willing to receive is a gentle way of establishing a relationship, and for many non-Westerners, it's actually essential. We're not acting top down as those who have the stuff, those who know it all. So these instructions that Jesus gives here also encompass much of what we're to do in our witness, to accept hospitality or whatever someone may want to do for you, to heal the sick or drive out demons, as the disciples later said that they saw were happening, and to tell people about the kingdom of God. Now, that healing and deliverance is what Jesus was doing in his active proclamation of the kingdom. So we're to proclaim God's kingdom come in Jesus in word and action. In other words, both speak about Jesus and what his reign means in our lives and for the world, and act in praying for and caring for people as a means of showing what God's reign looks like. Jesus' followers were instructed to say, "The kingdom of God has come near you." Now, Jesus was the first one to say that from the very beginning of his ministry. That's another pointer to the fact that we as Jesus' followers bring the presence of Jesus. But word and action are definitely involved. Now, the followers sent out didn't just have a regional holiday and expect people to sense that they were different as Jesus' followers and then ask them about Jesus. No, they went out and they spoke and they acted. And then the next part of the passage. You know, at times, unfortunately, people do not accept the message. They are not people of peace. And those who rejected Jesus' followers were rejecting him, because Jesus himself is present and at work in the ministry of those who he sent. And they were not only rejecting Jesus, but also the one who had sent him, God himself. They remain lost, despite having had the opportunity to be saved that time. I feel a little portion of God's sorrow and pain when my friends and relatives continue to be closed to anything I bring from a Christian perspective, or say about my faith, or about God, or his works, or the way in which God works in my life. But the 70 returned with joy, the next portion says, after having been sent out with nothing to rely on but God's presence, the disciples come back with joy. It wasn't as difficult as they may have thought. They see the most significant confirmation of Jesus' words to them and the authority he'd given them and the power that they had seen over demons. See, the coming of the kingdom of God means freedom from every foreign power that occupies the human soul. Jesus has won the victory over the powers of evil, and he has invited us into the victory, and he's commissioned us to share that victory with others. If we know his love for us, if we know what he did for us in dying and rising for us and defeating death so that our names are written in heaven, if we see that as the best news ever, then we'll be ready to be sent out as his followers and share that good news and invite others to follow him too. And Jesus insists on keeping the main thing the main thing. For all those who get sent out, all of us, the focus and celebration is not to be on the success of that witnessing, but on the security that comes from knowing the love of God as we participate within his kingdom. So, what can we resolve to do as sent out followers, knowing God's salvation in our own lives? We can start thinking about what is the perspective of Christ-like peace that applies to what those you know speak about. Pray for the opportunity to speak to the friend or neighbor and take an interest in their views and in their life. And pray often for God's Spirit to soften their hearts and open their eyes, and for yourself, for the courage to ask the simple questions God gives you so that you can proclaim to them the kingdom of God come through Jesus. Let's be intentional in the witnessing Jesus has sent us out to do. And let us even now pray for Jesus' Spirit to fill us, that we might carry his presence and words of peace with us, that we might recognize the person of peace, the person who's open and part of that ready harvest, and that we might, in humility and vulnerability, be able to proclaim God's kingdom in words and actions.